The State Department of Health Services says about 59% of Wisconsinites have gotten fully vaccinated against COVID-19. But the pace of vaccinations has slowed down a lot over the last few months. With cases surging again in the state and hospitals short-staffed, public health officials are continuing to make the case for getting vaccinated. A recent effort by Marshfield Clinic Health System in central and northern Wisconsin is showing some signs of success. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you talked to loved ones in your own life about getting vaccinated? Have you noticed a message or a strategy that's persuasive? If you are a healthcare worker, what kind of conversations do you have with the patients you work with? Do you see high or low vaccination rates in your own community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Miranda Egebrecht is Director of Care Management and Value-Based Care with Marshfield Clinic Health System. Miranda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
What made Marshfield Clinic want to take on this effort of trying to reach out to people who hadn't gotten vaccinated or at least not yet?
Yeah, well, first, we learned very early in the pandemic that individuals really want information. They want to know what's going on. They want accurate data so that they can make informed decisions. And so we wanted to be part of that conversation. We know historically that people value their opinions, thoughts, and background that healthcare providers can give. And so that was really one of our motivating factors of us reaching out to our patients and communities to be able to provide that accurate information so, again, they can make the best informed decision for them.
You serve a lot of rural communities, and just looking at county maps of Wisconsin, rural counties, many of them anyway, have lower vaccination rates. Was that a particular focus of your outreach effort?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, when we look at the state data, we know that there's still work to be done in terms of vaccination. But in particular, our service area for Marshfield Clinic Health System does include a few counties with some of the lowest rates in the state. And so we, again, wanted to be that resource to provide that information and education where needed to answer questions or concerns that folks had so that we can really improve the health of communities. The more people we can get vaccinated, the better protected the communities are.
So can you talk about specifically what kind of outreach you did to your Marshfield Clinic patients?
Yeah, so with our campaign, we had a couple different arms. So first, we knew, again, that we needed to be mindful of how we delivered messages. So in particular, making sure that we had media materials that were available in English, Hmong, and Spanish, and a variety of media materials, so billboards, social media, streaming services, so that, again, the more that was out there, hopefully the more individuals could receive that information, and again, in the language that they prefer. We also did an email campaign. So again, as a way for our own patients, we could really directly communicate with them and share those resources, share the recommendations from our healthcare providers directly, and then again, provide any further resources to them so that they could continue to explore and have those trusted resources available at their fingertips.
We're talking about COVID-19 vaccination outreach. Miranda Egebrecht is with us from Marshfield Clinic Health System, Director of Care Management and Value-Based Care there, looking at efforts to talk to people who aren't vaccinated, answer their questions, get them information. You can join in with your thoughts, maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Mike, hi.
Hi. I think we're past information, the information stage. There's been information going on 2 years almost now that we've had vaccinations and information. And information isn't the problem or lack of information. It's the fact that people don't believe the information. This has turned into a political football. You have one political party that is disparaging vaccinations and efforts for people to wear masks. You have a news channels and these right-wing channels like Fox News that is disparaging vaccinations. It's become such a political football. It's like it's past conversation. It's ingrained right now. You're not going to change people's thinking because all the information you give them, they're not going to believe it anyways. It's fake news.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Miranda, I wanted to ask you about the results of reaching out to people in the conversations you've had. Mike might be right about some people, but it sounds like in some cases, people did decide to get vaccinated.
Yeah, certainly when we talk about vaccine readiness, we see the continuum, right? We see people who have made up their minds on both ends of the spectrum, but certainly there are a lot of people who still really want that one-on-one conversation so that they can really dig into some of the questions that they may have. And that's where I feel, our providers are ready. They're willing to have that conversation, really ready to understand and see, where people are coming from and understand what they may be thinking and help to provide information that would be valuable for them. Within some of our outreach campaigns, within 2021, we were able to provide over 175,000 COVID vaccines, again, among many of our vulnerable populations. And again, we were able to open those doors up and have many conversations in our office setting and in our communities about, those specific questions, specific concerns that individuals have, so that again, they can see the big scope and make those decisions for themselves.
What were some of the most common questions or concerns that people had that were addressed in this email campaign or maybe in one-on-one conversations with a healthcare provider?
Yeah, so again, we see a variety of questions. Some of them are specific to where people may be at in their life. So women who are in childbearing years may have different questions or concerns compared to older male counterparts, or parents now of younger children may have more specific concerns. So, a lot of questions around the safety of the vaccines, how we were able to have a vaccine so quickly, the long-term side effects. Those were a lot of those repeat questions or concerns that we had that we were able to, again, have some conversations with, put together some information, some handouts, put together PSAs, and then again, point others to CDC, to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and other reliable resources.
How much of a concern has access been? I know at various stages, that's been one reason that people have cited for not getting vaccinations. They know the vaccines are out there, but it might involve taking time off work that they don't have, or getting transportation, or childcare, or the list goes on and on. How big a part of the story is that?
Sure. Very early on, you're right. We did see that was a challenge for many. We needed to work with the supply that we had. We needed to work with other community vaccinators to make sure that we could see the scope and what was accessible. Now it's more easily accessible. We have a greater supply. We have that on hand. We have some easy access in terms of online self-scheduling that's available to patients. We have some walk-in clinics available to individuals. We try and make sure that we have hours available outside of those regular business hours. So again, when you talk about work or school, and the ability to get there at a time that works well, we do have that variety. So hopefully that access has improved for others, and we continue to listen. So, what is it that individuals need in terms of that access, making it readily available at existing appointments, for example, or being somewhere else that's more maybe available and open in the community.
We've heard concerns in Wisconsin and elsewhere during this Omicron surge that healthcare providers, hospitals in particular, again getting overwhelmed with an increase in COVID-19 cases. What kind of things are you hearing around Marshfield Clinic providers?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like everybody else, we've been in this now for almost 2 years. And so we're tired. We're all ready to be out of the pandemic. But we continue to work hard to be mindful of what we need in terms of providing care when individuals need that hospitalization. We're trying to be mindful of what can we do to prevent that hospitalization from happening. We're working hard to make sure, again, that we continue to stress the importance of masking, of vaccination. We're working hard to make sure that we're providing the testing resource that's available for individuals, so that they can again make decisions sooner. So every step along the way, when we talk about prevention, all the way up until the needs that individuals may have in terms of hospitalization, we're working around the clock, making sure that we're doing everything that we can. But certainly, we know that this has been very stressful, and this surge is, again, another surge in this 2-year-long stretch. And so we're asking individuals to continue to do your part, continue to mask if you haven't been vaccinated, get the vaccine, get the booster if you're able to. We're in this together, but we need to continue to take some steps moving forward.
Miranda, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Miranda Egebrecht. She's Director of Care Management and Value-Based Care with Marshfield Clinic Health System. She was with us today to talk about Marshfield Clinic's email campaign and conversation campaign with patients that it says drove about 100,000 vaccinations. Up next, we'll continue the conversation. A journalist joins us who spent time talking to Americans who are vaccine hesitant and those who opposed the vaccine. She'll tell us more about the wide range of attitudes and beliefs. It's not necessarily all or nothing for a lot of people. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Were you on the fence with getting the COVID-19 at some point? What pushed you one way or another? Or has that not happened yet? Do you have conversations with people in your life about whether or not they should get vaccinated? What sort of concerns do you hear from them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation about Americans who are unvaccinated against the virus that causes COVID-19, what's leading to hesitancy for some people. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the topic, your experiences, maybe what kind of decision-making process you might have gone through before getting vaccinated, or if you're having conversations with others, if you work in healthcare, maybe conversations with your patients. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Julie Bosman joins us now. She's the Chicago Bureau Chief for the New York Times. She's profiled a number of unvaccinated Americans last summer in a piece titled, "Who Are the Unvaccinated in America? There's No One Answer." Julie, welcome back to Wisconsin and to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
What led you and your colleagues to try to take a closer look on the reasons people gave for holding off on getting vaccines?
Well, I think that the stories that we've written about unvaccinated Americans have come from trying to answer a really simple question: who are the unvaccinated? What are their reasons? You know, what are they thinking? What are their motivations? And one thing that I have discovered over and over again when writing these articles is just that there are really complicated reasons for why people have chosen not to be vaccinated. And this is not one big monolithic group. This is not necessarily a group of people who are, you know, anti-vaxxers in the way that they've been portrayed in some corners of the media. Some people just have really complicated personal reasons for not getting vaccinated. And a lot of people in this big group of Americans is still kind of willing to be persuaded under the right circumstances.
That's what really struck me reading your piece. I think it's sometimes easy in the media or watching or listening to the media to say there's two groups. You know, one group enthusiastically got the vaccines as soon as they were eligible. Another is dug in and will never, ever, ever do it. There's a lot of middle ground there.
Absolutely. I mean, I found this in my own life that, you know, the cousins, friends, people who are not vaccinated, you know, they have reasons that, you know, sometimes they even have trouble articulating, or they have emotional reasons. They may have heard of a friend who had a bad reaction to a vaccine, and that was enough to scare them away. So there's a lot of power in the personal anecdote. And I think that examples like that just show how tough it is to understand, you know, who this group of people is and how to persuade them. If you're a public health official, you're trying to convince people to get vaccinated so that the pandemic can finally, you know, start to wane at last. And I think that's what has made this such a big challenge for public health officials.
You started to touch on this. Can you share a couple more of the personal stories that you and your colleagues heard from people as to why they weren't against vaccination, but weren't ready to get it quite yet at the point you talked to them?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, some people just, you know, they worried about the time span. They said, look, these vaccines were produced really quickly. I'm just going to wait and see. So there were plenty of people in that wait and see group. Now, of course, we are a year into vaccine availability in the United States. So I think the wait and see group is probably diminishing at this point. You know, some people just said, you know, I stood outside of a vaccine clinic in Chicago one day last summer and just talked to everybody who was going in. And I talked to one man who was in his 70s and just said, look, I was a little worried. I feel like I'm really healthy. I don't think I need this, but I wanted to visit a friend who is a lot older than me and she's in fragile health. So I didn't think it would be responsible to do that if I was unvaccinated. So here I am. So sometimes it just comes down to a really specific set of circumstances. There are a lot of people who said that they were doing it because they were getting ready to go to school in the fall, or their college required it, or their, you know, work required it, their employer required it. So a lot of people have been swayed by mandates as they've come and gone.
Talking to Julie Bosman from the New York Times, Chicago bureau chief there, talking about unvaccinated Americans, vaccine hesitancy when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccinations. And it's not all or nothing. It's not yes or no. There's a lot of maybe out there. You could join in with your thoughts, maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller now. Jeff is with us in Wausau. Jeff, hi.
Hi, Rob. Just glad to say that I've got the vaccine. I believe in modern science. I believe in good old-fashioned journalism, and I believe in both of you. Thanks for inviting us all along on this information journey. anyway, I'm wondering if anybody speculated on the numbers. If nobody took another booster, if nobody took another vaccine, what's the absolute worst-case scenario for fatalities and long-term illness? Thank you for taking my question.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Julie, I'm not sure if that's the sort of numbers you have researched or reported on yourself, but it seems like the data from hospitals is showing pretty clearly the more people who get vaccinated, the fewer people end up with serious problems in the hospital.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think I have the precise numbers on that, but I can say that one number that really hasn't budged very much in the last few months is the percentage of Americans who are fully vaccinated, and that's still around 63%. Now that includes children who are younger than 5 who are not eligible yet for the vaccine. But in terms of hospitalization, severe illness, death, I've talked to many emergency room doctors, many physicians, nurses who have said when they look at their hospitals right now, when they look at their ICUs, when they see who's in the COVID units, it is the majority of those patients are unvaccinated, and the patients who are vaccinated are generally not boosted. So it's a pretty consistent finding across a lot of hospitals in the United States that if you are boosted, you are almost certainly not going to end up severely ill or dying from this infection, which is the point of vaccination. You know, we've certainly found out that the Omicron variant is spreading among fully vaccinated and boosted people, but most of those people are not getting severely ill. So that's the goal of the vaccines.
And the New York Times has done polling on why hesitant people don't want to get vaccinated. I know you've been following the issue since that initial report that you did that we talked about earlier. Have things changed when it comes to why people aren't getting vaccinated, or have the people who are on the fence maybe by now made up their mind one way or the other?
Well, one thing that has shifted things slightly is the Omicron variant, that about half of vaccinated adults who are not boosted say that the Omicron variant makes them more likely to get that booster. It hasn't changed many minds among unvaccinated adults. The latest numbers that I saw from a health organization is that among unvaccinated adults, only about 12% of them said that they were more likely to get the COVID vaccine because of the Omicron variant. So there's certainly a lot of people who are really dug in at this point and are not willing to change their minds.
Let's round one more caller. Christopher is with us in Elkhorn. Christopher, hi.
Hello. I was just calling to state some, you know, what I've observed about, you know, most people in my personal life about why they choose not to get the vaccine, and usually always revolves around, you know, not trusting what, you know, the media says, or not understanding, you know, the specifics about like mRNA, or, you know, just generally not understanding the science behind it. And I was curious if, you know, either of you are aware of any plans or programs that are being talked about with, you know, trying to, you know, help with educating the general community about, you know, helping to make the right choice.
Christopher, thanks for that call. Julie, just before we talked to you, we heard from Marshfield Clinic here in Madison, who's trying to do just that, using the contacts between doctors and their patients. Do we see that happening elsewhere? Do we know if that is a more successful approach with the public that in some cases might not trust any big scale institution?
Yeah, I mean, I think that raises such a good point. Like, who are the trusted figures? You know, who it's, we've certainly seen in the last 2 years that local public health directors, state public health directors have been harassed by some people. They've been accused of lying, of spreading mistruths, when really these are people who are just trying to, you know, give information to the public. They're trying to communicate what the CDC is saying. One thing that I've heard just in my reporting is that people are much more likely to listen to their own doctor or their own nurse if they have a relationship with, you know, a physician or a trusted healthcare worker. Then they're much more likely to listen to that person. But there are so many people in this country who do not have a primary care doctor, who don't have someone who they can go to regularly. So that's something that, you know, is something that happened before the pandemic, that people just don't have a relationship with a doctor. That's becoming a really acute problem now that we're in a pandemic.
Julie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Julie Bosman, Chicago Bureau Chief for the New York Times, with us today to talk about her profile last summer of unvaccinated Americans. Earlier, we talked to Miranda Egebrecht of Marshfield Clinic about an email campaign they say helped drive 100,000 vaccinations.